Well, here we go again, Josh. Got a George Holford, local matters, where we tell this part. This segment talks about the who, and I love it. We're going to tell stories. My job's to listen, which is very difficult for me, as our audience knows. And today, we're glad to have a bright young man. They're all young men to me now, Josh. Josh Flansburgh. Woodman Life, but the real thing, his real deal probably is he's a dungeon master.
And I'd say it's about half an hour.
And I'm going to learn, being an old fogey, I'm going to learn more about things I want to know about that I don't know about, Josh. So welcome to the show, and glad to have you with us.
I'm excited to be here.
So I told you off air, and you didn't believe, this show, we're going to start at age birth. And I want you just to talk about you and where you was born and growing up and friends and school and high school, and don't spend a lot of time in high school, but just get us tell us who you are.
Gotcha. So originally born in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
On the campus of the University of Florida, so go Gators.
Well, be careful with that, right? That's okay. We've got a lot of...
I was born there. I can't help it.
No, I was kidding. We have a lot of people from all over the country and the world, so...
Right.
It's okay.
So, first 10 years of my life, and I grew up in Ocala, Florida.
Sure.
Right outside of Silver Springs, which is where the, like, old Tarzan movies were filmed.
Wow.
Like,
did not know that.
Tarzan movies, they were filmed in Silver Springs, Florida. So, we got to... Yeah, you know, see the alligator snapping turtles, ride the glass bottom boats. You know, all that was a part of childhood. Going to the sugarcane farm, seeing the monkeys that they released from the Tarzan.
You
movies
went where we go, but we used to go on vacation.
Right, that was
a
everyday
lot of that.
Life.
Okay, so you're there and growing up, and talk about what you did and your friends and school and family and.
So, I mean, growing up in Florida, we spent a lot of time around the water.
It was, of course.
You know, it was a lot of fishing. We'd have, blue crabs on Fridays and the weekends.
Wow. You know,
growing up eating gator and shark and stuff like that. Stuff that people, you know, are like, well, that's kind of weird. Well, no, it's actually kind of delicious.
Yeah, we didn't do that in Tennessee.
Right.
At least, certainly my age. But, so you grew up in let's just carry on with your life. You're in elementary, junior high.
Yeah, so
then you went to high school, and
Elementary in Florida, and then, like I said, I was there until I was about 10, so it was most elementary in Florida, and then moved up to Tennessee outside of Nashville. We lived in Donelson.
How'd you get here?
So I have family in Nashville, quite a bit of it, and my parents just decided it was time to move from Florida to Tennessee, so of course I didn't have a choice in it.
Here we go.
Went to Donelson Middle in Nashville. It was, I remember it was the opening of the school. I was first class in the school. So that was interesting. But then towards the end of my middle school, they moved us out to Monterey. My aunt owned an insurance, going to go full circle here, but my aunt owned an insurance business in Monterey, and she had found a house there for my parents. And
they moved us to
Monterey.
Yeah. Being a flatlander myself, and that's another story from Mississippi, when we used to come to Tennessee, it didn't matter what part, I'm in the mountains.
Oh,
so
right.
when you go to Monterey.
That's where the hilltops kiss the sky.
Doggone right. And Cookeville, we're 1,100 feet above sea level right here, almost 2,000 feet in Monterey. So you went from the Florida to the mountains.
Right.
Talk about that. Now, how old were you when you ended up in Monterey?
Probably around 13.
Okay, so you spent your middle school, and we'll talk about that transition from Florida, and Donelson is a suburb of Nashville, and nice.
Right.
But talk about those transitions, what you learned, and how you adjusted, and
so make quick friends was the biggest thing. And of course, you would always get teasing for being, you know, throughout middle school. It was like, he's the guy who always talks about Florida.
Yes,
that's all I knew. And then, you know, moving to Monterey was a little slower than being in Nashville. Slower pace than everything else, and it just really found a home there. I considered Monterey more of
that's
my hometown
wonderful.
than any of the other places. I love Ocala. I will go back and visit Florida here.
But this is home.
Yeah, but Monterey is hometown.
And the history of Monterey, the Cherokee, last all the stories,
the Standing Stone,
the railroad, and yep. It was a thriving community back when Cookeville was not the same.
Right.
I mean, Monterey was
they had the coal mine,
they had the
big hotel there, yes. The Imperial Hotel or whatever it was,
restaurants that never closed,
right?
Because you had the machine shops for the railroads and. Yeah, so you really had a diverse childhood because of your Tennessee and Florida.
Yep, two elementary schools, two middle schools, but only one high school, and it was right. Monterey. So go Wildcats!
So how'd you do in high school? Did you like it?
I would say
because you were adjusting to moving,
right? So I would say I was pretty average throughout high school. I mean, I did some nerdy things, but I played football a little bit and did some of the more sporty things. And
sure.
Being in Monterey with Hanging Limb and all that around, there's all those swimming holes. So that
hiking and water and white water and everything.
Yeah, so anything that gets me back to the water has always been the thing that I've been drawn to.
Sure.
I guess it's just from being from Florida and always having water around. A little safer up here.
I understand. So you graduated from high school.
Yep.
Let's go to the next phase of your life. What did you do then?
So after graduating from high school, well, my dad ran a business throughout high school. We installed office furniture, much like the table we're sitting at.
Okay, sure.
So I was, working at the age of 16 plus already.
Good for you.
Then it was mostly bouncing around. It was, I did that for a while. I did other construction jobs, because I was, throughout high school, I was like, I'm here to get my diploma, not go to college. It was just always the way I felt.
But you were a handyman, too. It sounded like you could do most anything, construction and office supply, office stuff. Yeah,
office furniture. We did a good chunk of the furniture at Tech. I mean, they might have changed, over the past 10 years or so. But at the time, I had touched every building throughout Tech and a lot of areas around.
Well, you got
there.
To really know the campus and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah. I basically lived on it. Lived on it,
Okay.
So, I did that for a while. I did some other things. I've hung insulation, done fire sprinklers, around the trades world. But then as I reached closer to my 20s, I actually moved up to St. Louis for a couple years.
Okay.
And immediately got a job doing office furniture. So it was, had to thank my dad for that because he gave me a skill that I could use wherever I went.
And, that thank goodness that's a trend that's coming back in our country that we need more people who are skilled craftsmen.
Right.
Trades, and that's where the money is.
Isn't it?
I mean, technical training, what we do here with they used to call them vocational schools. I'm not sure. We have some highly skilled people that come out making really good money, and there's a demand.
Yeah, there absolutely is.
And workforce development, that's what it is today. Yeah, very good.
I'm
trying to get to the dungeon, the dungeon thing. That's the thing. Well, let's go from there, and let's just talk about your I see a wedding band on. I'm going to give you a break. You better mention your wife and each other and your family because
we haven't got there yet. I still haven't. I know, but St. Louis.
No, don't do that because you that could be a problem later on. But let's just go there. You're still working and you go to St. Louis.
Yep. So I lived in St. Louis for a bit and it was nice. It was different. Missed home.
Yeah.
A lot of the lakes up there you can't swim in. You can only boat, which I thought was crazy.
Weird.
Yeah, you see the sign, like, no swimming, boats only. What happens if I fall out? What do I do now? But it just wasn't Tennessee. It was flatland.
Yeah.
So then ended up coming home. Came back to mom and dad, bounced around a little bit after that. And then I moved to Crossville.
Crossville, great town.
Yep, yeah. Found a place in Crossville.
Yeah.
Kind of was, getting tired of busting my butt for work all the time.
Yeah.
So I found me, easy place to rent, easy job at like a truck stop. And was like, okay, early 20s, this is nice.
So not bad.
Not as stressed. Everything's kind of easy. And fell in love with Crossville.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really highest
point of the upper.
I'm a golfer. I see you are, too.
Hacker.
So.
But
hacker.
Boy, you went to the golf capital of Tennessee.
Absolutely. It had to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then living in Crossville is when I met my wife.
There you go.
She's not from Crossville. Funny, so one of my best friends from high school, he married his wife, and then I married her best friend.
There you
so
go.
Her best friend married her husband's best friend.
That's why God sent you and your family to Monterey and then Cross and then St. Louis back to Crossville.
Well, even her family is from outside of Chicago.
There you go. Sure.
Moved down to Cookeville, so we're both transplants. So I think maybe that was something that brought us together. But yeah, dude, it's just funny the way it worked that. Two sets of best friends, married two sets of best friends, and didn't have, they didn't set us up or anything like that. We just kind of found each other on our own.
Well, sure. But you said that we're halfway between Canada and Florida.
Right.
We're a day's drive of 76% of the country's population in the upper continent.
Right.
So we have people here. A lot of people don't realize we have people here from all over the country and the world. And Fairfield Glade was the original place people came here and retired and upscale and I've got 13, 14 golf courses. So you're the poster child for who we are. Your family is. So then you got married, and we've got about a minute left in this segment because I'm still going to get into that dungeon thing. Go ahead. So you got married. You have children?
Yeah, I have a turning 5-year-old daughter.
All right. Life gets real then.
Yeah, absolutely. Changes everything.
So we got just a few seconds left, but I'm going to tell you, we have a thing. You are a dungeon master, and you work with Woodman Life. I want us to come back in just a few minutes, and then we're going to pick up and really get to some fun, really probably fun stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
George Alford with Grand Master, Dungeon Master Josh Flansburgh. Back soon. Oh, we're back, and I know what you've been thinking. I'm thinking as an old, you know what, that Dungeon Master has something to do with Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it is. Is that it?
Yep,
and right then also, Woodman Life, who you're affiliated with, is when I was growing up, and then later was Woodman of the World. So
Woodman of the World, right.
Let's just pick up now. Maybe start with Woodman, then you're going to tell us a lot about what is a Dungeon Master. What do you do? How many? Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Woodman Life, Woodman of the World. Get a little history.
So Woodman of the World was originally they were one company in Omaha.
Yes.
So
yes.
Then Modern Woodman and Woodman of the World separated, and
they kind of
went their own ways.
Did not know that.
Right. So Woodman of the World, now Woodman Life. Been around 135 years.
Okay.
They're a not-for-profit insurance company, and they also do financial services. Have seen every disaster that has hit American soil and have come up with more answers than they've seen problems.
Wow.
A financially strong company. They are rated an A-plus supreme company among, a third-party rating that does insurance companies. And realistically, what happened is I was working for Verizon for years.
Okay. And yeah, I was going to ask you how you discovered.
So I was working for Verizon for years, and I was a pretty good salesperson. But mother,
I believe so. Yeah.
My mother's worked for Verizon for 20 something years, so yeah. she really got you. See, I did what Dad did for a while. I did what Mom did for a while.
And then here we go.
Right. So Verizon got old.
That's just life.
Yeah. And then I decided to, talking to some friends and some different people I know, then I went out and got my licenses to do insurance. Mm-hmm. Just, went and took my state test and all that, got my licenses, and then I was going to start looking for something in the insurance world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Woodman actually recruited me. They called me, come in, interview with us.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, sounds great. Went in and talked to them, and it really sold me on the company. They're not-for-profit company. We're really American-based. We give out more American flags than anyone but the U.S. government. Yep. And then they really started talking about, the community service work that Woodman does, the stuff they give back. And just hitting like, okay, I could serve my community and my church through this. And
We haven't hit church yet.
No, we have not.
We've been accused of being a faith-based show here, which I'm proud of, by the way.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about your faith, too, in a moment, church and what you do. And
so, being able to serve community and church really hit big on me. Freedom of schedule, and then it feels so much better to sit down and talk to someone about something that's going to help them than try to push the nicest cell phone on. And it's just a much better feeling. I never feel any kind of pressure. I could just sit down and be like, hey, what is going on with your life?
Yeah.
What do you want? How do you want to take care of the people you love? And we can figure something out by what you want.
That's right.
And then that's no pressure on me. I'm just the bringer of the information.
It's a spiritual, it's part of life. It's a human condition.
Right.
And you're trying to help serve people as they make their journey through life.
Right. And then, on top of Woodman being a not-for-profit, they also have a fraternal side.
Yeah.
So every chapter has, they have their chapter officers and everyone who is a Woodman member by having any kind of policy or something with us, you're a Woodman member. You get all kinds of, extras, benefits with it. There's scholarships. There's disaster funds.
Community-based.
Yeah, they're community-based.
Non-profit, community-based, yeah. Sure.
One of the big ones was the family legacy. And the biggest thing with that, say, like, my whole family now is a Woodman family. Me, my wife, my daughter all have Woodman.
Okay.
If me and my wife go out for date night like we did last night.
Yay!
And then we don't come home. Now my daughter is alone. She is not only going to get our insurance money, but Woodman's going to send her caretaker an extra $1,000 a month until she's an adult.
Wow.
And when they told me that, I was like, I'll start working here today. We're all about this. And just that long-term planning means a lot. And that, I'm going to tie it into like the Dungeon Master thing is, that's long-term storytelling. I'm looking at something that's going to happen a couple years from now. Well, in work-wise, I'm looking at something that's going to happen 60 years from now.
Yeah. How long have you been with Woodman Life? How many years?
I've been here a year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so you're in Crossville.
I'm in Crossville. I'm actually the president of the chapter in Crossville.
Sure.
And we're working to get it back up to where it was before COVID. Because apparently COVID hit and, people stopped showing up. So once I came in and they were like, elected me to be president, I've really pushed a lot of things.
And you've had experience and you've lived in other places.
Yeah.
Are familiar. Yeah, sure.
So now we're doing reach out programs where we'll go to random cafes and we'll just pay for like $100 worth of people's stuff.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, the next $100 worth of coffees on Woodman today.
Okay.
Christmas time, we gave out through actually the church me and my wife attend, which is Cumberland Fellowship up there in Crossville.
Good.
Their special needs ministry, we gave them like 60 plus something gifts for their special needs ministry. We've donated stuff to different kids programs and the homeless shelters. We cleaned up the storehouse last year. We're really pushing to do
more things. You're more than a financial services or insurance company.
Absolutely.
Farm Bureau comes to mind as not comparing, but right. But it's just, there are eight places that have some similar things. And I'm not comparing that, but it's serving farmers and it started out, but it's more than that. So we've got a couple of minutes left. Anything, but this Dungeon Dragons, folks, I'm teasing you. We're coming back in a minute and really find out more about that. Anything else you want to cover that we've gone through? We got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Anything jumps out at you? Hobbies? Well, Dungeon Master is probably a hobby too.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of time, more than you would think.
You mentioned golf.
Yep, I'm a big golfer. It was something that me and my dad got into right as I was becoming an adult. We learned to play at Cumberland Cove up there in Monterey, of course.
Oh, sure, that's great.
And then I just bounce around any chance I get.
So it's a dad thing too. You were able to find something that you and your fan, your dad can share.
We both bigger than golf.
It's just it's time together. And
we had a pretty big yard up in Monterey. It was probably about the size of a par three. So we got some old junk clubs and just taught ourselves, and then took it to the course and been playing ever since. I love the game.
And as you know, a lot of golfers in our part of the world play golf at Fairfield Glade too. So we're blessed to have the amount of golf that we have in the Upper Cumberland and the region.
Yeah. I live not but a few miles from Bear Trace, so that's
Jack Nicklaus.
I cut right through the state park out into the golf course. I'm good to go.
We know where we can find you now.
If
you're not at home with your family or working, we'll find you on the golf course.
You'll probably find me on the driving range.
Yeah, we've got just a few seconds left in this segment, but sounds like you have you've had you're still very young, but you've had some experiences, and you've had worked in other places, and
I've been around.
So you've got a good foundation there. So we come back, we're gonna really delve into what we've been promising, and we'll talk about the future too.
Yeah.
Crystal ball. So George Halford Josh Flansburgh, a master. We'll come right back. Well, we're moving on. I'm here with Josh Flansburgh, a Woodman Life, a native of Florida by way of St. Louis and Monterey, where he really kisses the sky, where the hilltops kiss the sky, and then in Crossville. So you've had a lot of varied experiences in different parts of our country. And you're here to share them with us today and to live. We're going to pick up where we left off, but we're going to go now into the let's look in the crystal ball. You've worked, you've served, you're in a field that you obviously feel very, in a company you feel very strongly about.
Absolutely.
So anything else? So let's look in the crystal ball and talk about now and in the future. And then let's go, then we're going to go to the, quick, as soon as we can, let's talk about you being a Dungeons and Dragons dungeon master.
Gosh.
So anything else before we go there? So,
no, I think you've been itching for this. So I'm
well, your audience, right into it. It's a sixth sense. So let's talk about a dungeon master and what is a dungeon master.
Gotcha.
And let you start there in the history and how you got involved in it.
I was about to say, I'll just start with kind of how we got into it.
Okay, good. That'd be great.
Like I told you earlier, back when I moved to Crossville, I started working at a truck stop up there. And there I made good friends with a group of guys who also were kind of in and out of working at that truck stop. And we hung out. We had a bunch of nerd interests together. You know, there were certain things that we all watched together.
Well, sure. Technology and new stuff. Stuff that I don't understand, but it's okay.
And then we just kind of got into it. It got brought up one day by one of them. It was like, hey, let's try to play a game. And then we played it, and then everyone loved it. And then we played it.
So it literally started with you just playing a game.
Just playing it once, yep. And then it really got into it. I kind of found my stride in being the dungeon master, running the game, and really doing this long-term collaborative storytelling. And that's basically what, not even just the Dungeons & Dragons.
Long-term storytelling.
Yep. So not even just Dungeons & Dragons, it's the tabletop role-playing game genre, because there's so many of them. There's the D&D, there's the Pathfinder, there's Warhammer, there's Marvel, there's Star Wars. Just basically anything that you have a passion for, you can turn into a tabletop role-playing game. So whether it be it could be something with golf. It could be,
and yours is dungeon master, but you do other,
right?
Talk more detail about your group, Dungeon Master. How many of there are you, for instance?
Gotcha. So in the beginning, back when I was not married and did not have a child, just a single guy, I created one world. I had a map, had, you know, cities in there, stuff populated, all stuff that I came up with. And I had three groups of 4 to 5 people.
Yeah.
And I would run a session for each of them once a week, every week throughout the year. And these groups of people, and some of them are repeat, and some of them are friends and whatever else it may be, but all of their personal characters that they created and put, blood, sweat, and tears into, well, now had a tie into this world, and not only that, had ties into each other's stories.
Yeah, they built them.
Right, they filled out what I had created, and then their stuff kind of would, like, because I'd be running this group, and they would do something, and it would affect this group and their story, and it would affect this group and their story. And it really just kind of gelled our little gang together, and we've been running ever since. But these days, I run two groups. We play once a week, every week throughout the year. So as you imagine, that's on average 4 hours a week. That's 200 hours a year that we play this game, and usually a story will go a couple years.
Wow. Are you compensated as the master, or do you?
No, it's all
this is all
times.
Hobbies and
yeah, it's all good times.
So you're young people who are listening to this program, or grandchildren or children maybe, understand what you're talking about. This is a big deal.
It is. It has grown so much over the last handful of years, just since we started playing. Because when we started playing, like, we knew of it. And there are some shows online and stuff that other people who do it. And it was getting popular, but it's not like it is now. It's huge now, way bigger than it's ever been.
You're a grandmaster. So how did you earn that? Or what's the steps to becoming a grandmaster, and how many approximately are there?
Gotcha.
Say in this region or in Tennessee.
So it is the guy who wants to deal with everybody else. That is how you become the dungeon master.
And you build that program.
Yeah. Well, there's an inside joke among the community of you become the forever DM. And what that is you're the one who kind of came up with the story or whatever else, and no one else.
Oh, you started the story.
Yes, you write the story. You come up with the things they're going to deal with. Like I can give you an example, and it would kind of hit on that long-term storytelling. On that original group, one of them at the very beginning got summoned to a king, and the king sent them out to go do stuff. Well, then now over the next 2 years in real life, they learn every step along the way that original king they met is the big bad. That's the guy who wants to destroy the world. And they met him on their very first session of the very first game they ever played. And then over the next 2 years, they have to deal with other things that he's been doing. And it all ties back in together. And that's kind of your biggest responsibility as a dungeon master, is to get that long-term story going and really make your players feel like their players matter.
It's their story.
Yeah, that
too.
Their story matters, because it's about them having fun and just dealing with the stuff I come up with for them.
So do you meet? I mean, do you have?
So we'll play.
I mean, is there a place? Is there a time? Is there?
We'll play in person games. We used to do a lot more in person games than we do now. But then also, like, I have groups where I have a guy that's down in Texas. I have a guy that's up in Buffalo.
I was going to say, this is not just. Yeah. Crossville or the Upper Cumberland or even Tennessee.
Yeah, which we have. I mean, we try to do some stuff on YouTube, but then, life gets in the way. People have kids, get married, whatever else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, mostly I have friends that are spanned out, and we'll get online, and there are online things where we can put on maps, and people can interact with it and do different stuff. And it can be as epic as you make it, or it can be as basic as you want it to be. You can buy maps and build stuff and use minis.
This is an industry.
Yeah.
This is a business. I mean, big time.
Or it can just be.
It can be a few of us just having fun.
Yeah. Do you like blue or gold better? Just as a color.
Blue.
Blue. Here you go. I brought you a gift.
What I win? Oh.
that is a D20. This is the lifeblood of the game. So basically, numbers from 1 to 20. A D20. It's a 20-sided dice. So 1 is bad, 20 is great. And say if you were, you're playing the game and you're making your drive. I would say roll for that. You roll the dice, and if you get a 20, well, that's the best drive you've ever done in your entire life. If you hit a one,
not so good.
Yeah, it's behind you. You scooped it; it went up behind you, and now it's on another tee. Or if you hit a five, now it's on the ladies' tee. That's kind of how it goes. And I have to make those judgment calls for my players and my friends.
Wow, this is
my little DeWang gang is what they're called, and I'm sure they're gonna love hearing that.
Yeah, we need to tell your group to listen in to this program because you'll be.
I'll do it at the next session.
You'll be a 20 again. I'm just fascinated by this. So this is going on all over the country and the world.
Absolutely.
Any age groups that it jump? Is it all age groups or is it pretty well?
It can really be anyone, and it's the relationship between the people that are playing and the guy who runs the game. I have ran games for kids. And just simple little nice things of, go find the cookies or whatever it may be. People go hunt the deer. Whatever the kids are interested in, they can do it. And make it real simple.
You mentioned other games that people who do this will do other. What other type games of people play?
So really the big like contrast between them is just kind of how the game flows. Some games are more storytelling. It's more role play where, I'm doing a voice and you're doing a voice and we're talking to each other, these characters who have their own motivations. Or some of them are more about the numbers. Some of them are more about, getting a certain number to do a certain thing on a chart and you're really trying to go through that. Some of them are about, the minis you have and, you have a little war, like me and you have a bunch of these guys and we're having a little war with these characters. And
yeah.
And then, like I said, just it will fit to anything that you're passionate about. If you love Star Wars, you can do a Star Wars one. If you love wrestling, if you're a big WWE guy, you can do a wrestling one. And whatever it may be, it can translate to a tabletop game. And that's kind of the
beauty of the game. So that's the key. It's a tabletop virtual technology, a modern day Monopoly board, or whatever.
Just theater of the mind.
That's great.
Just me telling you stuff, you picturing it, it'd be like, I want to do this. It'd say if it's like a hunting one, it'd be like, hey, you camped out last night, you wake up on a cold, crisp morning, the frost is just melting into dew, and you're out for that big buck. What do you do? And at that point, you're like, hey, I'm going to track it down. Cool. Roll the survival. Let's track that deer down.
Yeah.
You roll. Oh, you rolled good. You find where it's been eating at. And, it's been, just nibbling over here on some stalks. You see it. You've snuck up. Take your shot.
So this die, and of course, we're a radio.
Right.
I mean, we're not visual. But this is a octagon. No, it's bigger than octagon. This is like a dice.
Yeah.
And it's got 20 sides.
It's got 20 sides.
And a lot of it has to do with what you wrote. Some of it does.
So there's actually a bunch of dice out there. There's 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20, and 100-sided dice.
We've got just a few, some seconds left. How do people who are interested get in touch with you? Or how do people who say, wow, I'd like to know more about that? How do you do that?
Of course, if anyone wants to reach out to me personally, and like anybody else, I'm on Facebook. You can always find me at Woodman's website. You can just type in Crossville
zip
code.
Josh Flansburg.
Okay. Yep. Go to Woodman, type in my zip code for Crossville. You'll find me. But really, any game store, online, Amazon, get you some
go
dice.
Go to George Alford with the Dungeon Master and a lot of things I don't know anything about. Josh Flansburg, thank you for sharing. And that's it, folks. Next time.